The great, the wonderful, the delightful Adam Rittenberg joining us here. Peach Bowl, a rematch, Indiana-Oregon. Does it still blow your mind the way it's blown ours that Indiana football is the number one overall seed in college football and that they're the favorite to win the national championship?
You know, it's less surprising as it goes along, but certainly to see what they did to Alabama, to beat them at the line of scrimmage and to be so definitive, it continues to impress. They don't really have an obvious weakness if you look at them statistically, but it's hard not to, kind of doubt them until you see them on the field. And, you know, they don't miss tackles. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They force mistakes. I love how committed they are to the run, even when it's not, you know, always hitting on big plays. And so that puts them in advantageous down and distance situations. It doesn't put their quarterback in a tough situation. And so, I think to beat, they're beatable, but you have to be great at the line of scrimmage. You got to run the ball. You've got to create some mistakes on their end. And, you know, it's very clear that Alabama was not up to that task in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, and Alabama had been kind of a sinking ship over the last 2 months of the year. And, maybe we overreacted a little bit too much to their comeback win over Oklahoma. I'm curious to ask you about Oregon's chances to do it, Adam. They've had chances, at a rematch game the last 2 years. One, they lost the first one, and everybody thought, it's tough to beat a team the second time. Then they lost again the second time to Washington. And then they beat Ohio State last year in the regular season, and you get the rematch against them in the Rose Bowl, and we know that didn't go very well for them. What do you make of Oregon's chances to end that and find a way to be the first team to beat Indiana this year?
Well, yeah, I certainly like the way that Oregon's playing, and I really commend them, especially when you have two coordinators who've become head coaches in recent weeks, for handling double duty and still game planning. And man, the game plan that Tosh Lupoi put together and that his players executed against Texas Tech was really impressive. And, you know, again, talent wise, you look at recruiting rankings and portal rankings and so forth, you know, you can certainly make the case that Oregon has maybe a talent edge going into this game in terms of future NFL players. But I think the evaluation that Indiana does with its personnel, the number of experienced players, especially on offense, I mean, Oregon's going to have to play its best game. I look back at the earlier matchup, Oregon gets that pick six and they're tied early in the fourth quarter. They still lose by 10 on their home field, and they didn't score an offensive touchdown for the final 50 minutes. So if it's anything like that, and you're really relying on a pick six to keep you in the game, That's a tough approach if you're the Ducks. So I do think the start of the game is going to be important. I mean, Alabama was actually in the game at the end of the first quarter, and then they just couldn't sustain. They couldn't get anything going offensively. So if Oregon can jump ahead and put Indiana at a disadvantage, possibly leading to another major mistake, that would be the plan to go. I think it's going to be tough for the Ducks to win this if they don't get off to a good start.
Yeah. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, our guest here on Twitter, at ESPN Rittenberg, has a few pieces up, including a look at this one with Indiana and Oregon in the Peach Bowl. Has Indiana gotten better since they played Oregon, in your mind?
Well, yeah, I think they have. I think along the line of scrimmage, especially, you look at how they finished the season. They've also just been tested. I was at their game, I watched their game rather at Iowa, and I know Oregon had that same experience to go into Kinnick Stadium and try to get a win against a team that's really tough to create big plays against. I think that's a growing experience for Indiana. How they beat Ohio State, hanging around, and then finding their edge offensively late while their defense played really well. And then you're still facing an Alabama team that's well coached and has a lot of talented individual players. So to be able to do something to them that hasn't been done in 30 plus years about 30 years is really astounding. So I do think that they're an improving team. They haven't had a lot of major injuries other than, unfortunately, Stephen Daly, the defensive lineman who got hurt celebrating after the Big Ten championship game. So they're relatively healthy. And again, their depth has really jumped out to me. That this is a team that has a lot that can hold up along the line of scrimmage. And then they've had different guys that have been able to help them. I mean, Charlie Becker, he's maybe their best receiver right now. No one was really talking about him a few weeks ago. I mean, he's had several 100-yard receiving games, had the touchdown catch to put them on the board, or at least the first touchdown in the Rose Bowl. So in some ways it's similar that, Indiana is not reliant on one running back. Oregon certainly not relying on one running back. Same at receiver. I would certainly give Oregon the edge at tight end, with Sadiq, who might be the best tight end in the country. But you know, they are kind of similar teams, line of scrimmage based, really good quarterbacks, and a lot of variety at the running back and receiver spot.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Becker for the year he's had, because I remember when they came to Eugene, I didn't even know he was on the team. And then like 3 weeks later, I'm watching one of the games. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Where did he come from?
The Penn State game was really his breakout game.
And you're like, has he been there all year? Was he banged up? I'm so confused. I'm curious to ask you, Adam, my team obviously being in this has, you know, there's a lot on the line for me on Friday night of Oregon, Indiana. But even that, I can kind of step out of the bubble and acknowledge how cool this Final Four is. And I'm curious what message it sends. Like, you have Oregon that's never won a national championship, Indiana that's never won a national championship, Miami hasn't been relevant in a quarter century, and Ole Miss, so like, I guess they claim a third of a title from like 70 years ago, but let's be honest, right, they've never really won one either. And so you got a chance for a first time national champion, no real recent blue bloods of the Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia's in the world in this Final Four. I'm just curious what message that sends to you about where the sport's at.
Yeah, I think it's diversifying. I mean, I've still been kind of in that old mindset of in most years only a few teams can win the national championship. And I think that's starting to shift a little bit. I still never think it's going to be 10 teams. Maybe it's going to be 7 or 8, but that's certainly better than what it's been. I mean, there's a lot of years we can go back and look where, you know, maybe only one team could win a national title or two. And that certainly changed. You know, I didn't think Ole Miss would be able to get this far, especially with the disruption on their coaching staff. You know, we've all been conditioned to, you know, look at Miami as a team that will make mistakes despite its talent level, and that could still happen. But they've gotten to this point, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. You know, Indiana, again, this is one of the best wildest stories in all of sports in the last, you know, I don't know how many years you can go back. I mean, who would have expected Indiana? You know, Oregon's really the most established team. Oregon has been good for a long time. Oregon played for a national title. Oregon's been on the stage before, but these other three, because of the layoff with Miami, it really is astounding. And you do wonder, because of the portal, and that's certainly a key factor in all of four situations. When you look at the quarterbacks, when you look at some of the depth pieces that they were able to bring in, and then the different coaches and their profiles all connected to Nick Saban, but all a little bit different. It does show that I think we're going to see more years where the pool of teams that can contend for a national title is going to expand, and we're going to see more teams that haven't been on this stage, you know, getting there.
Final one for you, because we know you got to go, and we appreciate your time here on a busy week for you as you get ready for two playoff games. Who do you have in the national championship game? So we're very curious on where you lean with that one, and who's your winner?
Yeah, so I mean, I pick the games right when they come out, the same night, you know, and I had Indiana reaching the national title game. Hard to go against that, although I think Oregon's certainly capable of winning this game, but they're going to have to play their best game of the season. The other one is fascinating. You know, Miami's better along the line of scrimmage. You saw that in the Ohio State win. I think they have more NFL players on their roster. Ole Miss may have actually had a more talented team last year, which is wild to think about. But you look at what Trinidad Chambliss did in that Sugar Bowl, you know, the confidence he's playing with, the playmaking ability, improvisation. I'll probably lean Ole Miss to win that game. So I got Indiana Ole Miss, but it really could end up any of the different possibilities. That's the exciting thing. You don't have – I mean, listen, Indiana, when all is said and done, we may look at them as a less talented version of the LSU team in 2019, that it was just inevitable. But these other teams – are certainly capable, and there could be all sorts of outcomes later this week.
And yeah, we have. I'm assuming you have the psycho Cignetti sitting there celebrating with a natty if he gets there.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I you know, again, watching them in the Rose Bowl, and I know that's not the best Alabama team we've seen by any means in recent years. It's just hard to look at Indiana and see an area where, well, okay, if you do this, they're going to fall apart. Now, listen, they haven't gotten behind big. And maybe that's the key. If they get behind two scores, we're going to see some cracks in how this Indiana team operates. But I just think they're so sound. They're so experienced. You're learning about how they evaluate personnel. I'm writing about that later this week. Has been really interesting. And the things that Sig prioritizes, you know, maybe over other things that other coaches value. So it's not as much of a surprise when you kind of learn how this roster is built. And I think they're built to finish the job.
All right, there we go. Great stuff. Adam Rentenberg, look for that piece later this week. Enjoy the playoff semis, and thank you so much for hopping on a Monday. We always appreciate having you.
You bet. Thanks for having me.